You've made it back to the Gilded Time Traveler. Hello, guys. I decided not to wait so long to share this next episode. So today, we're going to talk about Outlander. And I was planning on doing Shakespeare, but you guys know I always change my mind. And this is one that I know I've had friends waiting for. So if you've heard of it and you're thinking about trying it, you really need to do it. And if you haven't, you really need to do it. So let's get started. Alright, so Outlander, probably my second favorite show ever, and it's up there. So, I would say Poldark barely beats it out, and I think I discussed that in my Poldark episode, which was my first episode ever. And by the way, you guys, we're in season two. I didn't know if you knew that of this podcast. I mean, it's a new year, and it just kind of felt like it was time. So, let's discuss where it kind of came from. Diana Gabaldon is the author. They came out, I want to say, in the early 90s. She may have even written them in the 80s. I'll have to go back and double check that. And they were popular books among women, but they never really, I guess, took off as far as, like, the way that we know it now. Like, men had never heard of it. And it kind of just looked like another, you know, based on the cover, like cheesy novel, you know, like a romance novel. And by the way, you guys, I have my heater on if you can hear it because it's freezing, my little fireplace heater. So anyways, so let's get back to, they were going to make it into a movie. And I don't remember when that was. Maybe it was like the early 2000s, late 90s, something like that. And she even said that Liam Neeson, she felt like, should play Jamie, who is your main lead character. He is not the main character, but he's the male lead. And I realized he was younger then, but now it's funny because most of the fans, like me, who hear that, they're like, no. As much as I love him, say in something like Rob Roy, which is another amazing movie if you are a fan of these like Celtic themed top stories, you should check that out as well. But because Jamie's character is so young, he's in his early 20s, and it's just now being made, or you know, it's a show now, it would be impossible to see him playing that character, but I could see her saying that back then. But then they felt like there's just no way to fit all of this story into a movie, and I totally get that because these books are long, you guys. It's a long series, and because the show took off so much, she's still writing them. And I believe the one that I have, which is the first one, it is, I want to say, like 800 pages long. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I've heard other people say this because I belong to a few Facebook groups, because I'm a nerd like that, and when I fall in love with something, I have to find like-minded people who also are obsessed so we can discuss like the episodes and ask questions and things like that. And other people have said the same thing. It's a little slow to start off with, which, you know, a lot of series, they can be that way. Here's the thing. She is so detailed, an amazing, prolific writer, but it's so incredibly detailed that it's kind of slow. Like, you're like, okay, let's get to the action. Let's get to the good part. Like, I already know what happens because I've watched the series, and now I'm going back and reading the books. And, you know, it does get better about halfway through the book. So I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking to it. But I'm really bad about skipping around and reading, like, five different books at once. So I'll have to get back to it. It just completely depends on my mood. I don't know if you guys are like that. So, anyways, the movie never quite took off because they decided that this needed to be a series. And I'm trying to remember, I feel like Katherine Heigl was supposed to be Claire. Now, she is the lead in the first movie based off of the first book series that I also love, but it's completely different. If we ever do a When Calls the Heart episode, which I really want to do, I have lots of friends that are massive fans of that as well. Anyways, the author Jeanette Oak did another series called Love Comes Softly, and I have read almost that whole series. And anyway, she did the first movie of that. I mean, she's a great actress. I could maybe see it, but Claire is dark haired. So anyways, somehow this became finally a series, and I read a funny story about how it got started finally and kind of like greenlit. Somebody was on a plane and their friend, their wife had the book, and they were like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing book. Like, you make TV series, you've got to make this. And then that's how it took off, because like all the women knew how good it was. And yes, it's kind of rated R. Let's just get that out in the open. But not everything that I watch or like is like that. Like, When Calls the Heart's definitely not. Poldark's definitely not. But Stars ended up picking it up. So you can't be that surprised that Stars would, you know, like something that's got a bit more grittiness to it. And there's some nudity. So we're kind of discussing like the book, the culmination of all of this and the series, I guess, at the same time. Speaking of, you're going to hear me typing around a little bit because I want to read without mistake and look up the name of the book, all of the books. Okay. In order. And like I said, they're still going. Okay. I hate whenever I make myself have these like long pauses. Okay. So the first one is called Outlander. The second one is called Dragonfly and Amber. The third one is called Voyager. The fourth one is called Drums of Autumn. The fifth one is called The Fiery Cross. The sixth one is called A Breath of Snow and Ashes. Then the next to last one is called An Echo in the Bone. And the last one is called Written in My Own Heart's Blood. Now, whether or not that's going to continue, I don't think so. I say she's still been writing them, but I feel like that's supposed to be the end of the series, because by that point, they're supposed to be, you know, like well into their 60s. I mean, they're supposed to be getting older, you know, and I kind of wish that Poldark had done that and they decided to stop for that reason. They didn't want their characters to look super old the way that they would have aged in the book, because obviously they didn't want to age the actors, and I think I said that in the Poldark episode. But I'm like, you know, if Outlander can pull it off and can do it, then I feel like you guys can do it. So I think that they've been combining like two books, like half of one book and then half of another book, into one season. And right now we are waiting on season 6 to start. Unfortunately, of course, COVID messed that up. Otherwise, it would be starting like right now, I think. And about a year ago is when I got my husband started into it. Finally, what had happened was, the way that I started watching it, it was a couple of years ago, maybe two years ago, maybe three, but I want to say two. And I had always seen like the photo for like season one, you know, and I always thought, because I'm obsessed with anything to do with like Scotland, I was like, oh, I would really like that. And it looks like Jamie is the main character, and it shows him and this dark haired lass, you know. And the problem was, because it was still relatively new, you could only watch it on Stars, or we didn't have Stars. I didn't want to pay to watch it. So what I did was, I got like a free Stars week, I think, like a trial period on my Fire Kindle that my husband had gotten me to read on for Christmas, which, by the way, guys, you know I prefer a book, but it's good to be able to just, like, click that button and get the next book whenever you're, like, at midnight reading and you just finished and you're in tears and you really need the next book. But anyways, so I watched it on my Kindle whenever I had time, and I watched, like, the whole first season. Well, then Netflix picked it up, and I don't know how I felt about that, to be honest with you, because it's not a Netflix original. It did allow it to take off in a way in the U.S. that I would say Poldark did not. I mean, this is a show. It's an American show, not the way that Poldark is, but it's gotten so popular over in the UK because it is set in, you know, Scotland and France and with the English and just things like that. So, I really liked it. It's not the same watching it on, like, a small screen, but it gained a lot of followers with Netflix, because you know how Netflix is. Netflix basically, like, rules the world, and I wish they would stop going up on their price. I'm sure everyone feels the same way. But, so then, I started watching season 2, catching up on Netflix. And the problem is, I begged my husband to watch it with me. And he just wouldn't do it. And finally, he tried it. And I was like, I don't know why you wouldn't. Because he's Scottish. And, you know, he likes the same type of things that I do. Unfortunately, the first time I finally got him to lay in bed and watch an episode with me, I had never seen this episode before. There is one very famous episode. And if you're a fan, you know immediately what episode I'm. And the reason that this episode is so famous is because some people can't watch it. I guess maybe I'm just desensitized my generation, but I don't want to, like, give away too much, but I also feel like it should come with a warning in case you decide this is something that you just can't deal with. Jamie is someone who Captain Jack Black Randall is really fixated on. So this is a man and another man, and he is the bad guy, you know, and he's the villain. So he spends all his time not only trying to, like, capture him, but it's odd because it's almost like he doesn't even want to kill him, because he just wants to keep him to where he can torture him. And he does rape him. So it gets a little bit more complicated than that, but I don't want to give any more spoilers, but that's what I kind of feel like everybody should kind of know. And this doesn't happen for a little while, so anyways, my husband's laying in the bed, and that's the first thing that he sees, and he was like, I'm never watching this show with you ever again. And I was like, it was just a really bad episode, I promise. I was like, please, I swear you would love this show. And I know I just jumped really ahead, so we're going to backtrack a little bit. And finally, let's see. So what happened was, after that, I completed all of, that would have been season, I watched all of season 3 when we moved into our new home. And by myself. My husband was working out of town a lot, so that's how I got that done. Season 3 is probably my least favorite. They traveled to, I want to say it was Jamaica. And every season, they change the intro song, which is called the Sky Boat Song. And it's really, really beautiful. And it's actually an old, old tune that is talking about a man. And so they change it to where it says lass. So it's not an original. It's actually my ringtone on my phone. So, you know, people kind of look at me crazy unless they're a fan whenever my phone goes off. But I love to sing it. I made a TikTok where I made an original sound singing it. So, Anyways, the original first season one, I think, is my favorite. So then what I did was I talked my husband into watching, kind of accidentally, just because he was laying in bed, the last few episodes of season three. And it was a new year. It was the start of 2020. So I got him to agree to start watching with me. He decided to get Stars. So we caught up on all of season four. And it became a big deal. And he got into it and he bought me like the magazines and books and stuff. And was learning about it. And he liked it. And I'm not going to tell you exactly yet what season four is about, because I'll get into that in a minute. But what he did like about it was the kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's similar to like The Patriot. And so that was season four. And then the reason we did that was because season five was about to start. And I wanted us to watch all of season four, and we did in like a week. I think after that it started. And so every Sunday night, I think it was Sunday night, that was our thing. That was what we did. No, the kids had to go to bed early. Nobody bothered us, you know. And we laid on the couch on our big curved TV and turned out all the lights, and we would watch it. And I really, really enjoyed that time, and I was really happy that he got into it. And it makes me really sad that it's not starting back right now because of COVID, and I think they're still like filming. In fact, I think they just were able to start filming. So let's kind of talk about the actual series, because I know I've kind of discussed like how I got started watching it and everything. But in case you are interested, finally, this will let you know, okay, does this sound like something I would like? So season one takes place in Scotland. Season two takes place in France. And I kind of wish they'd just stay in Scotland. And spoiler alert, I hear in the book series that in the future, they do travel back to Scotland, finally. Then, like I said, Jamaica is in three, which was my least favorite. Four, they are actually in the New World, meaning the Americas. And that's where they also are during season five. So it was kind of a big, long stay, and it was a big deal. So in the beginning, you have Claire. And I was shocked to find that she was actually your main character. She is in the 1940s during World War II. She's a nurse. And she's just reconnecting with her husband, who she really hasn't seen in like 5 years for a total, I think she said, of like 10 days. Because he was like an officer or something like that in the military, and she was a nurse. And they were separated by war. And they go on a second honeymoon in Scotland. And it is Samhain, which is where Halloween originally comes from. In case you didn't know that. And another funny thing is they actually did not carve pumpkins. They carved turnips. That's something I did not learn from Outlander. That's just some other little Scottish tidbit that I had learned. So in the beginning, she's looking at this vase, and she's talking about how she's never stayed in one place at one time, which is really kind of ironic now to think about. So anyways, she's really into like herbalism, which will come in handy when she travels back through time. As a nurse, it's almost like an oxymoron. Most nurses these days don't believe in herbs, and I don't want to go into a tangent about that. We'll probably do a whole nother segment on that one day. I'm also really into that natural healing. You got to think, before there was medicine, modern medicine, you know, God gave us everything on this earth that we needed, and people used herbs, and I do today, to heal themselves. And so I don't know if Diana just decided to add that in there, because it's kind of something that she had to know when she went back into the 18th century. I know it's 18th century again, just like Poldark, but this actually takes place during the Jacobite Rebellion, and it was about maybe 40 years before Poldark took place. So, anyways, they're on their honeymoon, and she decides to go back to the stone. There's like a stone circle to gather these flowers she had seen for their medicinal purposes while her husband is gone doing his thing one morning. And when she goes up there, she hears this like buzzing because they had just watched what you would call now probably the druids. And if you don't know a lot about druids, they're really fascinating. They're kind of like a mixture between, they were like the judges, the lawyers, the doctors, the magicians. They were everything. If you had a problem, you went to them. And if you don't know this, Merlin was what we know today as Merlin. He would have been a druid. Back then, you know, they didn't really call them like witches and warlocks and wizards. It's just, you were a druid. There's also a show called, Britannia. I think that's it. Yes, I think so. Britannia that I started. And a lot of these characters will be on the same shows. And, they really depict the druids a lot on there. I'm not a super huge fan of the way that they depict them because they make them look like scary vampires, but we're not going to get into that right now. But if you want to learn more about them, you can look that up. Because it takes place in Gaul, which would have been around the same area. That was a really, really long time ago. I mean, we're talking like BC. Before the Roman Empire came and tried to take over and everything. So this was certainly before England tried to do all of that. So, and they of course ran the Romans off. So anyways, so the druids, they were in this instance women who were dressed in these like gorgeous white kind of gowns, and they were holding up these lights at sunrise and singing and chanting, and then they leave. And it was a really beautiful thing that they wanted to witness because it was what basically Halloween. And when he left to go do his thing, she was like, well, I really want to go back to get these flowers, and I'm trying to remember what they were because I know a lot of people will get a tattoo of it. I think they're purple. They're like a purplish blue. Yeah, I think they're blue. And so she hears a buzzing and she goes to touch one of the standing stones. So it's kind of similar to like a Stonehenge. And the next thing she knows, she wakes up in the same place. She's still in Scotland, but it's 200 years earlier. She's traveled back through time. How? Nobody knows yet. And so immediately she's obviously trying, she's disheveled, she's walking around, and everything's, there's a lot more greenery than there were, you know, there was obviously. She sees who she thinks is her husband. Also, what is important, her husband is, he's a professor. And his name is Frank. And he was actually also in Scotland studying up on his ancestor, Captain Blackjack Randall, who was an English officer. And it's also important for you to know that they are English. And so he's learning all about that. Well, she sees who she thinks is her, she believes to be her husband, but he's wearing the, you know, the red coat that they're known for. And she realizes that he's not a nice person. And she's like, this is not Frank. And what's funny is it's none other than Captain Blackjack Randall. His name is Jonathan Wolverton Randall. He tries to rape her. There's a lot of rape in this series. There's a lot of rape, and there's also a lot of homosexual rape. And not just rape, but just homosexual, I don't know, references maybe, but it was, you know, kind of hidden more back then. So anyways, and I realize I'm saying anyways a lot because I just get so into this series. I like get so sidetracked because once I start talking about it, I cannot be quiet. So she's suddenly rescued by someone in tartan. If you don't know what that is, it's probably what you refer to as a kilt, but tartan is the actual like pattern. And in the book, it's actually Murtaugh, which is Jamie's uncle, but in the show, of course, it's Jamie. So he like attacks him and saves her, and it doesn't matter because she doesn't like any of them. She wants to get away from them. She's like, where the heck am I? And I'm not going to give you like every little detail, but basically she has to ride on horseback with them. She's basically held captive by these Jacobite rebels. And I don't even know if you would call them Jacobites right now. If you don't know what the Jacobites are, this entire series started, it was founded on the fact that in the past, and this was true, the Bonnie Prince Charlie was trying to raise money for a Jacobite army so that he could get back on the English throne. And that has a lot to do with like the Stuart dynasty and reign, and if you're into like the English monarchies and things like that, then you can start watching like the Tudors and things like that, and you'll learn. So all these shows are intertwined. And back on subject, so basically in layman's terms, he's English and he wants his throne back. So because England basically owned Scotland was supposed to be a part of England, they preferred him simply because he was Catholic, and Scotland was Catholic, but then they were made to be I don't remember if it was Protestant or something like that. So they didn't like having, they don't care who is on the English throne, but they would prefer to have somebody more sympathetic to their cause. So they prefer to have a Catholic. So he is raising this Scottish army, basically, to try to do that for him. Unfortunately, it's a failed cause again, because there were a few uprisings. And so she travels with them. She meets Jamie. She has to fix his arm. Obviously, he's the youngest, most attractive one. Let me tell you exactly what they look like. Jamie is gorgeous. As you can imagine, he's got kind of like ear length, curly, disheveled red hair. And I think he has blue eyes. Maybe they're green. So let's just call them a bluish green. She has blue eyes, but in the book, she's supposed to have golden eyes. And I suppose that was hard to do on the show. And she's got dark hair. And so they refer to her as Sassenach, which means outlander, which is, you know, obviously where the name Outlander comes from, because she's English. So they don't trust her. They believe her to be an English spy. So that already puts a lot of, you've got Claire, who is scared to death and is starting to realize, I am not in my time. I'm in the 1700s. I can't believe that this is real. I must have hit my head too hard. Something happened to me. But then she realizes that she has somehow found herself in the 18th century. So she is very smart and she can figure out what is going on, where she is, what time period she's in, and what she needs to do. And she knows not to tell anybody that she traveled through time or she would be hung as a witch. And that is kind of a spoiler for foreshadowing for future reference. So we're not going to talk about that right now. But you'd think she'd be a little bit more hysterical, like in reality, like today, but you know, creative licensing. She's just trying to figure out how to get back to the Stone Circle, because she figures out that's how she traveled, and so that she can travel back to her husband, because that's all she cares about. is getting back to her own time and finding her husband, who she knows must be worried sick. And yes, he was. He was searching for her. People tried to tell him that she ran off with another man, and she absolutely refused to believe it. Now, the night before all this transpired, it was raining, and there is a scene where she's combing her hair and in their room that they're staying in. The power goes out, and there's this figure. Frank happens upon it as he's coming back, and it looks almost like a ghost, and it's just the backside of what looks to be Jamie, like a redheaded Scottish, I don't want to say soldier, but character. And when he walks up to him, he's like, excuse me, like, why are you staring at my wife? He just kind of disappears, and he thinks that he's going crazy. And the theory is because it was Samhain, and that was the one night, you know, that spirits could come back. There's this big theory that we're not supposed to find out until the very end of the series who it was, why it was, you know, because it's kind of like a giant time loop. If Jamie, if Claire goes back in time to find him, but then goes back into the future later on, and then she keeps kind of going back and forth. When you deal with time travel, it starts to get really complicated. Because it's like, how did Jamie travel into the future? Did he know she traveled back to the past? You know, it just gets complicated. And we all want to figure that out. Was he checking on her to make sure that she was okay? Because he's been dead at this point for 200 years. It's just really, everybody's dying to know who that was. It's obvious that it's Jamie. But anyway, she's not aware that figure is watching her. But we're all aware. So she doesn't want to admit that she's beginning to kind of like Jamie. Because you have to remember that her and Frank were separated by war for a long time. So she loved him, but she kind of felt like they were strangers. So I think that that kind of helped her not feel quite as bad about, you know, she's kind of falling for this Jamie character. And, I mean, who wouldn't fall for a hot Scottish rebel? Oh, and he's an outlaw. He's wanted, by the way, of course, by Black Jack Randall. And he had been whipped twice by Black Jack. So he's kind of got, like, he's got this obsession with Jamie. And he had came and, like, raped his sister and all this horrible stuff. For some reason, he's just fixated on Jamie's family. And so they start to kind of like each other. She realizes that there's an attraction. Then she's, you know, she hasn't been able to make it back to Stonehenge yet. And in the book, like I said, half the book is just her at the castle. I'm trying to think. Lollybrock is his home. So they're at, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't think of the names right now. You have to remember these are all like Gaelic names, kind of. Well, they go back to his family's castle on his dad's side. His mother's side, who is dead. And they're very well protected away from the British. They kind of would never try to come on their land. So you've got like the Laird, which is basically the Lord, which is his other uncle. So he's got his two uncles there. And you deal with the whole, like, you've got the, what you would consider, like royalty. Not royalty, because there really isn't that there. It's, like I said, the Laird of the castle, then his woman, you know, their child. You've got their inner circle. They have dinner together in the hall. Everybody that lives there. You're at court, basically, but it's a little less fancy there. So what they do is they tell Claire that they want her to be, to stay on as, what do you call it? A healer, because they didn't have doctors and nurses. As I said, they no longer had a healer. They realized that she's good at all of this stuff. And she finds herself really almost enjoying herself and her time there, finally, after getting over the, you know, hysteria. because she's helping people. And when she's helping people and healing people, she kind of forgets everything else. And it's so interesting to her, the things that she has to deal with. Like, for instance, she used, they used spider webs to wrap up people's arms with and things like that, because they didn't have, you know, the things that we did in the 1940s. And so Black Jack Randall says that he has to come and interrogate her, and because they don't want that to happen, because they know he's basically going to rape and beat her, because he gets away with whatever he wants somehow. He's kind of like protected. Nobody knows how awful he truly is. They said the only way they can protect her is if she becomes no longer an English subject, but a Scottish one. In order to do that, she has to marry one of their own. And of course, Dougal, one of the uncles. I don't know, there's a lot of uncles. they're like, well, you need to marry Jamie. And she's just a few years older than him. He's a virgin. She's not, obviously. And she had always kind of had problems. I think it was, like, having kids. And so, anyways, they get married, and it's really beautiful, but she has to get drunk in order to do it, because she's like, this is bigamy. I'm already married, but I'm married 200 years in the future. So now, technically, I'm married in the past before I'm married to him. So how does that work? So, something beautiful really happens when they agree to do this. She knows if she's smart, she has to do this to save her life. And so once she realizes that, you know, the English can't help her to get back to the stones, because she's got Black Jack Randall after her. So she starts to really feel like akin to these people, and they're no longer the enemy. So I guess you got a little bit of like Stockholm syndrome there. She realizes that she really kind of likes their way of life better, because, you know, you really see in the series that the English, obviously, and they've always been this way, they think that they are above and superior to everyone, their way of life. So they really feel like the Scottish are literally savages. And in a way, I guess they kind of were, but she starts to realize she loves being out in these, like, rolling green hills and on horseback, and, you know, the fighting and the excitement. She gets really used to it. You know, so there may not be, like, tea time, but she makes friends and realizes that, you know, it's been even longer. It's been months since she's been away. So her and Jamie get married, and that night, when she's no longer drunk, they decide to get to know one another, finally, really and truly. And they sat up all night long talking, and she realizes how much she enjoys it. And it's been a while since she has had sex, so they do. They make love, and it's really beautiful. And she realizes that by the end of this night that she is, in fact, head over heels in love with Jamie. She's wearing both wedding rings, one on her left hand, one on her right hand. She doesn't want to take Frank's ring off, but she realizes that she has fallen in love with her new husband, and she doesn't really know what to do about it. She's like, I guess I'm just married twice and don't know what to do about it. And in the beginning, she kind of thinks, okay, the sex is amazing. He's gorgeous. I love him. But I still have to find my way back to the future. And she feels really bad that she's going to break his heart and leave him, because he's like this, he just seems like such a sweet young lad, I guess. But believe me, he can hold his own, like, in a fight. So the more that they get to know one another and things, the more they start to fall in love. And it really gets to the point, and I'm going to stop giving every little detail to you guys. There's so much in this series, even though it sounds like I've told you everything. You're really only in the first few episodes. But they fall deeply and madly in love with one another, so much so that, you know, she gets pregnant, and they decide eventually, he's always getting, captured, because he's always wanted by Black Jack Randall, and he comes up with reasons to say that he's a wanted man, even though he hasn't done anything wrong. So they're in hiding, and he's always getting captured, and there's always this, like, excitement, and she has to save him, and then he has to save her, and she just gets really used to it. And I think she has, like, an adrenaline, she's, like, an adrenaline junkie. Like, she really thrives, like, in during the war, whenever, you know, you're covered in blood and you have to help everyone. Like, I think that's something that she likes. And people finally don't think she's a spy anymore, and they start to respect her. But there's always kind of question. There's a fine line between a healer and a witch, and it starts to get a little complicated there. And then you kind of find out that there are other time travelers, and I'm not going to get into that. But she has the opportunity to go back through the stones. She doesn't do it. She goes back to him and realizes, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I want to stay. I want to stay here with you. And she kind of feels like she belongs there. She never really felt like she did belong before. And she has to tell Jamie finally, look, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm from the future. And lo and behold, he believes her. She says this because, like I said, the uprising is happening. She knows what's going to happen because they were learning all about it when her and Frank were there, learning all about his history. He was on the English side. There will be a rebellion. There will be a battle, the Battle of Culloden. And she knows that that is the end of the clan way of life. And if you know what I'm referring to, you're no longer allowed to wear your tartan colors, or you don't even have clans anymore. The English really take over then. And so she knows by seeing the grave sites that, like, they're all gonna die. All her new friends that she's made is gonna die. Jamie's gonna die. And he's his name is James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Fraser. And he's also, it's kind of a running joke, got a lot of nicknames. The Dunbonnet, Red Jamie, McDo. Everywhere he goes in every season, he kind of gets like a new name. Because he's kind of infamous. And so, the way that it works is he is trying to get back home to Lollybrock, which is his home, his ancestral home on his father's side. And his sister and brother, their children, are kind of like keeping it warm for him because he's not allowed to come back. And he's trying to find a way to be pardoned so that him and his new wife can return. And, they go there, and she really loves it there. She does. And gets to know them, and a lot happens. So then they're like, how can we stop this rebellion from happening? Because I know that this is something that you care deeply about, but if this happens, you're all gonna die. And he believes her. He's like, I don't know how you know this at first, you know, and then she has to explain it. And they're like, how can we stop this? So that's how they end up in France, because at the time, that's where the Bonnie Prince Charlie is, and they're trying to kind of do some undercover spy work, almost like double agents. Like, they're trying to trick them into thinking that they're for the rebellion when they're actually trying to stop it. And Dougal, on their travels to collect taxes, and she has to travel along with them earlier on, is using Jamie by stripping off his shirt and showing how badly his back is just scorched, like his scars, to cause anger in the other clans to make them angry enough to raise money for the army. And she doesn't realize it at first because she has to kind of like learn some of the Gaelic. So, in the end, basically, they have to run at the end of season one to France, and that's where she finds out that she's pregnant, and things are really serious at that point. So, yeah, they're running because he's got to run, but at the same time, because they can't be in Scotland anymore. At the same time, they have a plan. And that's kind of when the Battle of Culloden and all that starts happening. And that is a really huge deal, so I am not going to spoil that for you guys. Just know that while she's pregnant, everybody kind of knows that she travels back to the future because Jamie, like, makes her because she's pregnant, and he knows that everyone's going to die. They couldn't stop the rebellion, and they are separated by 20 years. For 20 years, she goes back to Frank. So then you've got people guessing that she was taken by the fairies because, you know, people in that land in that time, even in that time, still in the 1940s, believe in the fae and the folklore, and they believe she was taken by the fairies, and then she returned. And when she returns, he's happy, but she's like, no, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't know if Jamie's dead. She assumes he's died. She's like, look, I know I'm back, but I don't love you anymore. I married someone else and I love him. And that's a huge deal in the beginning, to be married and to be freaking out because you've got to make it back home to your husband. You know, you don't want to be around these people. And now here you are back. You've made it back. And you're like, look, I remarried and I love this man and I desperately want to get back to him somehow. And he's like, I don't know if I should believe this story or not, but if you say it's true, fine. She's like, no, you don't get it. I'm pregnant. So she returns pregnant, and he takes care of her and Jamie's child, who is born redheaded. So he always kind of wonders in the back of his mind, is she telling the truth, or did she just run off with some man, fall in love with him, and get pregnant and come back? So he does his own digging and finds out, you find out later on, that he actually did find proof that she traveled back in time. Not only did she travel back in time, but after that, after returning, he found more proof that later on she must travel back again. So that's when you start getting back into the complicated time loop. You know, when does this happen? When does that happen? And it gets confusing. And he doesn't tell her this. And so season 3 does a lot of, like, hopping back and forth, showing you this is what's happening with Jamie. He's depressed. He's a wanted man. He's really just a shell of a person. And he remarries. And he's unhappy. He starts to have... He has another child. And he's just so miserable without her, knowing she went to the future, hoping and praying that their child was born and that everything was all right. Then, you've got her, who they're showing, basically it's the 1950s, the 1960s. At this point, she has become a doctor. It was hard for her to go back to just being a nurse when she came back. She felt so unfulfilled by her life. Like, how do you go to this little flat? And I believe he had become like a, they moved to America from England to America to start over. And he got a job as a professor at Harvard, and they agreed to raise Brianna, who was named after Jamie's father, Brian, together. And he was a wonderful father, but it was always just kind of like an empty marriage. How do you get used to waking up and being, everything's so modern, everything is so, you know, done for you, and she's bored out of her mind. She's like a stay-at-home mother. She can't stand it. She misses cooking on an open fire and a battle breaking out at any moment and being dirty and making love on top of rocks. And, you know, like, how do you, she doesn't know how to go back to that. So that's when she decides to become a doctor. And there were not very many female doctors. And it's funny that even though that was in the future, she was more well-respected in the 1700s as a healer than she was as a doctor in the 1950s, which is really sad to say for women. That's as far as, like, I'm going to go trying to explain. If that sounds interesting to you, and I'm telling you, it is so good. I hope I didn't spoil too much of it for you. And then those of you who already know this, I hope that you really had a good time, like, discussing it. I'll just say, you know, you've got season two in France. Then she fought her. It really time hops rather quickly, because Brianna goes from a few little clips of her being a child to boom, she's an adult, she's in college. I'm not going to tell you what happens with Frank or how she finds out about her father or the new characters that come into play. There's so much more that I haven't even mentioned, so don't worry, I've not ruined it for you. How she finds out Jamie lived through Culloden, all the things that happen with him, how she ends up leaving Brianna and traveling back in time because Brianna allows her to do it, and Brianna even traveling back in time, them ending up in America, starting over, Fraser's Ridge, try to imagine the 1700s, 1770-ish, you've got the Native Americans, you've got slavery, things like that in the New World that you deal with, and they're really known as a prominent family. They're older, they're in their 40s, and having to deal with the Native Americans and her healing and setting up shop then, and the new problem. They feel like they have gotten through all of that before. I'm not going to tell you what happens with the final battle with Blackjack Randall, but the new problem is now they know what is coming. What happens in 1776? You've already got the spark of the revolution happening. There's already, it gets complicated because they're still English, and the English kind of gave Jamie land, and they built themselves a giant cabin, and he's trying to play double agent again. History kind of repeats itself. He is trying to help these people. He doesn't like the English, and she really doesn't either, which is part of the reason she liked living in Boston in the future. And they're trying to, like, how do I explain this, just kind of stop the English from really pressing down on the American people and the colonies. And how can they do that? So that's what they're dealing with now. And they know that the revolution is coming. They know another huge war is coming. They're wondering, are we going to make it through this? Are you going to live through, you know, fight again? And of course, as usual, he becomes, especially because he's older now, he's an officer, basically. Like, he's a leader. He's always, they call him, like, the king of men. Like, he is always a leader. He's very well respected. And I think that's when you get into the book, The Fiery Cross. I'm going to continue reading. It may take forever for me to finish all of these, but it's such a good series. And if I can finally get my husband into it, I want to give a shout out to my friend Ashley, who is also obsessed. I have a few other friends who became obsessed after I did, who I loved when I would post things and I had nobody else, you know what I was talking about. And they would say, oh my gosh, I just started this series and I love it. And I need to bring you I need to bring you to the Celtic side. Like, come. if there's anything else that you guys would like to know, shoot me a message. My final comments on this really are just, I'm waiting, although I do like them in America, I'm waiting for them to go back to Scotland. I wish that they had did like they talked about, and instead of having to go to France, just run off to Ireland. But the problem was, he wouldn't run off to Ireland, because even though he knew that they failed at preventing the rebellion, he was going to stand with his men and his clan, and he was going to fight, even if that meant that he might die. And she understood that, even though they could have just, you know, ran away from it all and stayed together in the past and raised their daughter in Ireland. And I honestly feel like I would have preferred that in season two than France when they're in Paris. you can imagine with France. It's a very fancy season compared to one. And I prefer the raw ruggedness, the wilderness, you know, of season one. So I just can't wait for them to go back to Scotland. And I wish I could see them in Ireland, but I don't believe that they ever go. But I guess that we shall see. I'm really waiting for it to come back on. But yeah, I'm just obsessed with it. I love it. It's a lot darker than Poldark, but as much as I love Jamie and I love Sam Heughan, and Katrina Balfe plays her, I prefer Sam's character as Jamie more than Sam himself. And I think that's what it is about Poldark. Like, yes, I still prefer Aidan Turner as Ross, but I love me some Aidan Turner even over Sam. And there's just something about, and Claire, she's all right, but Demelza every day, all day wins for me. So they may be English and not have this awesome, like, Celtic, you know, background that they have, which I guess is what I like about this show. So they both have things that I really love, but that's my number one and my number two, and I strongly, strongly suggest this series. If there's anything else that you guys would like to discuss, I'm sure I forgot some things, but I'm just really passionate about it, and I'm honestly scared for when the series ends, and I hate when I do find a series happen upon it, because I think it started in 2015, and it, you know, it's nearing towards the end, and that's what happened with Poldark. Even though I've been watching this for a few years, Poldark, I literally started and it ended within a year. That's not the case here, but I'm scared for when it ends. It has truly become a part of me. I don't know if you guys become, like, obsessed with shows or book series. I'm sometimes it's music, books, stories, shows, movies, you name it. It becomes an integral part of who I am and what makes Brittany, Brittany. I hope you guys knew, as my listeners, that's my name. But yeah, that's what makes me, like, who I am. And I'm scared for it to end because I love it so, so, so much. And it really, really, if you've got a drop of Irish or Scottish blood in you, you're going to feel so connected to this series. And I think that part of season three that I didn't like, not only in being them being having to travel to Jamaica, but it was also the constant going back with Claire being in the future for some reason. And I used to love the 1950s, and then it's the 60s, and you can see how things change and things. It just, I don't know, I found it boring, like her life with Frank. It's like you hate knowing that they're apart. You know what I mean? You just want them back together. But don't worry, it doesn't last too long. And it's just so, so, like, complicated. There's layers upon layers. It's so intriguing. It's so good. I can't say enough good things about this series, and that's why it's really taken off. I think MTV even gave them an award. And sometimes I do hate when, like, something that I love, I feel like is a treasure, becomes almost like taboo because suddenly everybody loves it. And I started feeling that way towards this, but I think it's wonderful that it's getting more followers. I just don't want it being a show that someone's like, oh yeah, watch it, I like it. No, you are either a diehard fan or you're not. And I guess that's really kind of it, you guys. I've got all of the soundtracks to all the seasons. I listen to that for fun. Yes, that's what kind of person I am. There's even an Outlander cookbook. Some of the food is disgusting. If you don't know what some of the Scottish meals were, there's a reason, and I hate to say this, but there's a reason that there's only Irish pubs. There's no Scottish restaurants the way there are Japanese, Chinese, and, you know, Mexican, and so on. Their food was really terrible. It's really gross, so I'm not gonna get into that, but I want the cookbook. I listen to some Outlander podcasts, And when the series is not on, it's actually called Droughtlander. So we're in Droughtlander right now. I have a Christmas ornament right now that says Sassenach on it. And I just got it this past Christmas. I still haven't taken my tree down. I need to do that. I might just keep that out, though, and just put it somewhere. But, yeah, this has been a fun episode for me. I tend to forget myself. My accent probably comes out more. And I had a good time. And, yeah, just look it up, you guys, and shoot me a message. And I hope you enjoyed this. And, yeah, I guess I'll talk to you guys next time. I can't think of anything else really to say about this show, in this book series. It's just the best. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. Probably going to go listen to the soundtrack and look up the Skyboat song, you guys. Check out, some more of Diana's work. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. So welcome to Outlander World.